Good evening, Holden Village. My name is Melinda, and I serve as a member of this community and as pastor. Happy Pentecost to you all, and I love some of the fun, creative ways that you brought red to this room. Again, as I mentioned, a dinner red in the church is a symbol of the Spirit's movement, specifically to reflect fire, which I really think is an important theme for us as church and for us as people to think about how we are moving. I can still remember as a kid, because there's only two festivals in the church where you wear red, and I always wanted to acolyte on those Sundays so I could wear my red shoes. So even as a young kid, I geeked out on church things. I just thought I'd mention this is my very first time at Holden Village wearing a chasuble, and in case you were thinking to yourself, what's with the red cape? It's actually called a chasuble, or poncho, perhaps you were thinking. There will probably be people that argue with me, but I want her to explain. Now, Jesus, there's a part in Scripture where he talked about himself like a mother hen and how he longed to gather his brood or her brood into his. And somebody said that that was part of the symbolism behind the chasuble. And so you wear it when you're presiding over a meal, and this idea of, think of like a mother hen sort of gathering all her children to come in and come home for dinner. So I thought it was fun. I found it in the closet, and I was excited to wear it. So here we are. This is my red. Things that you need for Vespers tonight. Your red hymn book. We'll be singing a couple hymns out of there. And then your unfailing light worship booklet. I think that's all the special notes that we have. We've got wonderful musicians that are helping lead us in this space. And the very first thing that we will be doing together is hymn number 401. And please note that it will be sung for us first in Swahili, and then you will be invited to sing in English. Thank you. The grace of Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the raucous Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
You're invited to be seated as we continue to worship with their Kyrie, which is found toward the backs of your worship booklets on page 18.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Kyrie, eleison. Christe, eleison. Kyrie, eleison. Eleison, eleison. For peace in the church, the healing of the nations, and renewal. Let us pray. Kyrie eleison, Christe eleison. Kyrie eleison, eleison. For those who thirst or hunger, those who have no shelter, and all who are imprisoned, let us pray. Kyrie eleison, Christe eleison. Kyrie eleison, eleison, eleison. For all who gather here to sing their thanks and praise, and pray your Spirit's presence here, and plead for help and mercy, let us pray. Kyrie eleison, Christe eleison. Kyrie eleison, eleison.
Christ be with you all. Let us pray. God, our Creator, the resurrection of your Son offers life to all the peoples of the earth. By your Holy Spirit, kindle in us a fire of your love, empowering our lives for service and our tongues for praise, through Jesus Christ, our Savior, who lives and reigns with you along with the raucous power of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You're invited to be seated as we now hear from our Holy Scriptures.
The first reading is from Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues, as of fire, appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language?" All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "You Judeans and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your youth shall see visions, and your elders shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below. Blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." The second reading is from Romans chapter 8. "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, 'Abba, Father,' it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if in fact we suffer with Christ, so that we may also be glorified with Christ." Word of God, word of light.
You are now invited to stand as you feel comfortable for the singing of the gospel acclamation and the gospel. This is the Holy Gospel according to John, the 14th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Philip said to Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." And Jesus said to him, "I have been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but it is the Father who dwells in me who does these works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very, very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do. And in fact, will do greater works than these because I am returning to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees or knows her, but you know that Spirit, because the Spirit abides with you, and I will be in you. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, she whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Do not give as the world gives, and do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let them be afraid. This is the Holy Gospel. Praise to you, Christ. You may be seated. It's the final scene. And they're in this large, rocky cavern. And the golden ark is being carried and set into place. And the soldiers are starting to gather around it, eager for it to be opened. Now, apparently my mouth is really dry. Indiana Jones and his lady friend are tied to a post up above it all. And there's this weird guy, and he's wearing this funny hat, and he has this strange gold staff. And he's starting to say some strange-sounding words, which I can only guess is Hebrew, because, of course, if you're going to be opening Moses' Ark of the Covenant so that the Nazi soldiers can see what's inside, clearly you speak a Jewish language, right? Am I right? It's weird. So he says the words, they open the Ark of the Covenant, and in there is believed to be the law, right? The law that came down to Moses, and they dig their hands in there, but it's only sand. And the weird German guy with this little spectacle starts giggling. And then, if you remember how it goes, there's a stirring in the sand. And then there's like this light spinning around in the sand, and suddenly it starts to break forth, and it starts whizzing around the room, and tongues of fire are whipping around and through the people. And Indiana Jones very wisely says to his lady friend, who's clearly dressed in an evening gown, of course, as they're tied to the pole, "Marion, close your eyes. Don't look at it." And then the tongues of fire suddenly turn dark and scary and evil, and the rushing, powerful wind blasts bleeding holes through people's middles. Other people's heads explode, and a couple people's faces literally melt off. Now, this may be a super cool Hollywood moment, but it is not the work of God. It may bring about fear in the people and a little bit of excitement for the folks in the audience. But it is not the work of God. Way back when, the people had gathered for a harvest festival that they called Pentecost. And indeed, there were tongues of fire that moved around the people. And probably, I have to believe, it would have been a little bit scary, right? Because it said it was like there was this rushing wind, and it was violent, and it was loud, and there were tongues of fire. So I have to believe that it probably was scary. But no one was torn open. Nothing melted. Nobody was, you know, terrified, afraid, stricken. No pain was inflicted. But instead, this mighty power simply rested on the heads of some pretty normal people. The normal people who were soon to become leaders. These things brought out the very best. These tongues of fire, as they rested on these folk, these normal folk who had been following Jesus, suddenly brought out the very best in these people. And the followers of Jesus were being shown, and this I love, they were being shown their own capacity for wisdom, right? That they have this story reverberating within them that they now have the capacity to share with others. They were being taught that their own ability and their own experience to speak of the richness of life and love and healing that they had found in Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit, they were finding their voice. And isn't that what we are supposed to be about? It's why I've wanted to make such a big deal about today's celebration, to lift up and honor our voices, all our voices, to help us see that each of us has a great capacity to share a story of life with our normal voice. And then by God's Spirit, something amazing happens. Our words start drawing people who need to hear from us, specifically in the way our voices have capacity to share those things. That morning in Jerusalem, it was about 9 o'clock. The atmosphere was festive. Friends, family, Jews, including Jesus' followers, had all gathered from all over the region to come to Jerusalem. This was an annual event, and it was a way for them to celebrate God's bounty, right? The richness of God's gifts, namely the food that they depended upon, and a time to give thanks and to celebrate the fact that they could trust in the one who provides sun and rain and skill and wisdom so that there could be a harvest. Yet in the midst of this annual celebration, as we know, there were Jews among them that had a new story being birthed within them, right? Their experiences of the last 3 years with Jesus, their truth, their experience, their voice was starting to vibrate up through them. And there was more to God's provision that they were feeling compelled to talk about. They had witnessed his death and resurrection. They had experienced his love and compassion. And they knew his teaching and acts of justice. They knew him to be a source of life embodied in human flesh, which was miraculous on its own. So they were there, huddled up together, and pray in the midst of all this, away from the crowd. Think of it like a family reunion, right? All these people were coming into town, and there was a big holiday going on, and so they gathered everybody together, and they were probably still a little bit freaked out because they were followers of Jesus, and you know what they did to Jesus. So they were all kind of sequestered away, huddled up and praying together and waiting, because as you remember, you heard in today's gospel, they were waiting, you see, because Jesus had made a promise, right? That even though he was returning to the Father and wasn't going to stay bodily with them forever in human form, right, that he would be sending an advocate. He would be sending another along, right? And they were waiting, you see, because he had promised them in the night in which he was betrayed, right, after dinner, after he had humbled himself at their feet and washed their feet after he had tried to explain to them that this love that you've experienced me needs to provoke you to action, all these things. After all this, he had said, God's going to be sending you an advocate. God's Holy Spirit will come, and the Spirit will abide in you. That word abide means to kind of make one's home in, to reside with sort of the sense of permanence and longevity, right? God's presence is going to abide in us. And so they were huddled away, waiting for this advocate to show up. This Pentecost festival was expected to be a normal thing, right? But it became the stage for the Holy Spirit. They weren't doing anything out of the norm. They were just praying and waiting. Jesus' followers were normal people. And suddenly, this loud, noisy wind, these tongues of fire whooshing around and resting upon them, busted them out of their cloistered privacy and safety, huh? And suddenly these normal guys from Galilee would be speaking publicly and many in different languages. Because the way the story goes, it says all who were gathered there were able to understand the gospel in their own language. They were hearing the words of God's incredible life through Jesus Christ spoken in their native language, with turns of phrases that embodied their own home culture and values, language that made sense and deepened the meaning for what was being said for them. And again, isn't that what we should be about? Now, when I say we, I mean we the church, yes, but I also mean we people of faith, regardless of which group you adhere to, but also we as community, we as citizens, we as neighbors, we as family members. If we are truly trying to embody the good news for one another, first, like those guys from Galilee, and women too, although the Bible doesn't talk as much about them, but there were women there. Read Luke. First, trust your own capacity for wisdom. I need you to believe that you have a valuable voice. You've been created in the image of God, after all, right? I mean, God has promised to abide in us. God resonates in you. You are beautiful and lovely and powerful. Your voice is needed and it matters. Believe that your experience is holy and something to be shared. But secondly, and more importantly, I think that we need to find words and language that connect, right? That somehow we're figuring out, perhaps by putting ourselves in another's shoes as best as we're able, perhaps by inviting their stories and to start to hear and understand their language and their experience, but figure out a way to find some common ground and meaning and then hang out there. Our summer conversation is about finding unity. But it's less about thinking the same things and more about creating safe space where stories of truth can be spoken and heard. What if we engaged in the gospel this way? I mean, listening for it as it is embodied in other people's stories and then sharing it as we have experienced it ourselves, and letting these two stories kind of dance with each other, or five stories, or however many are in the group, letting our stories intermingle with one another to embody the gospel to its fullest. And through that process, letting love be our go-between, because there's going to be times when our truths bump up against each other. And I think our biggest challenge in this is language. And in this, I keep thinking about the language used by that great Christian band, U2. Did you know Bono and The Edge were actually part of a pretty evangelical congregation in Ireland when they were younger, so much so that they almost gave up rock and roll? Could you imagine? Because of language, right? They were being told by their church that the language that they were using was not appropriate, but I'm guessing that you too may have had a deeper influence in the world than the church community that they left. Just a guess on my part. Think about the language that we are using. One of our summer's teaching faculty, Dr. Chris Sharon, wrote a book a while ago, and it's called One Step Closer, Why You Too Matters to Those Seeking God. And he quotes Bono saying this: "I enjoy the test of trying to hold what's sacred and still being awake, walking around, breaking through the plate glass window. It's one thing being in that holy huddle. It's another thing taking yourself out there into the world." So often the focus of the Pentecost event is that Jesus' love and life speak to everyone, which I believe is true. That culture, language, none of that matters to the gospel, that all are invited, and this message of new life helps all to feel welcome. I believe that's to be true, and I believe that the Spirit can certainly move in that way. But what has become clear to me is that this message doesn't get shared by our staying in a holy huddle. Huddled in, visitors are not welcomed, and people are not comforted. Loving community cannot be established, nor can it be maintained if we stay in huddles. Our language needs to open, and our curiosity must lead the way. And it seems to be my pattern lately with sermons of me saying, I don't know how you're gonna do that. I can't be the one to tell you how to do that. Because the only way you're gonna get there is by being authentically who you are and being present to others and helping them to be authentically who they are. And then that's when something raucous starts to happen. I pray that we make ourselves vulnerable to these conversations, that you open yourselves to one another. Introverts, it means you're gonna have to talk to people. Extroverts, it means you're gonna have to shut up and listen. May God bless us in this space, and may the Spirit of Pentecost inspire us to be the fullness of community. Amen. Our service continues. We're going to sing hymn number 400. God of tempest, God of whirlwind. I invite you to please stand for the singing as you feel comfortable. It's hymn number 400. Page 21 in your worship booklets.
Watch on me, those awake this night. Saints, watch over all who sleep.
God be with you all.
And also with you.
I invite you to take a moment to share a word of peace with one another. 9. We bless you, O God, gracious and merciful. You bring forth food from the earth and nourish your whole creation. Turn our hearts toward those who hunger, that all may know your care, and prepare us now to feast upon your mercy, Jesus Christ, the bread of life. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right and good, everywhere and always, to give you thanks and praise, Holy God, mighty and immortal, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who on this day, as he had promised, poured out your Spirit of power and life upon the chosen disciples. At this the universe rejoices, and so with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy,
to join me in the Eucharistic prayer by speaking the responses. Holy God, you alone are holy, you alone are God. The universe declares your praise beyond the stars, beneath the sea, within each cell, with every breath. We praise you, O God. Generations bless your faithfulness through the waters, across the wilderness, by night and day, out of exile and into the future. We bless you, O God. We give you thanks for your Son, at the heart of human life, near to those who suffer, beside the sinner, among the poor, and with us now. We thank you, O God. In the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body. It is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, and he gave thanks, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and drink. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. It is shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me. Remembering his love for us on the way, at the table, and to the end, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. We pray for the gift of your Spirit in our gathering upon this bread, within this cup, and among your people throughout the world. Blessing, praise, and thanks to you, Holy God, for your mercy through Jesus Christ, by your Spirit in your church, and without end. Amen, amen, amen. And now, since it is Pentecost, if you happen to know the Lord's Prayer in another language, I invite you to try praying as much as you remember it in that language, or whatever version you feel comfortable in. Silence is perfectly good too. Let us pray. Padre nuestro, que estás en los cielos, santificado sea tu nombre. Venga nuestro reino, hágase tu voluntad, así en la tierra como en el cielo. El pan nuestro de cada día, dánoslo hoy, y perdona nuestras deudas, así como nosotros perdonamos a nuestros deudores. No nos dejes caer en tentación, mas líbranos del mal, porque tuyo es el reino, el poder y la gloria. Por los siglos de los siglos. Amén. So this is Christ's table. And it is he who invites you to come and gather around this holy meal. Our desire is that there be no barriers between you and this feast, so please come to the table. We've got a bunch of folks that are going to be coming up here now. There are food options so that you feel... I'll tell you, why don't you have a seat? And I'll give you the game plan. If you are gluten-free, note as you're coming up, there's going to be kind of two stations, one that wraps around this way and one that wraps around this way. You'll start to the right and move left. The first station is gluten-free, then there will be bread, which you are welcome to take and eat and then drink from the common cup, or you can dip the bread in the common cup. But if you prefer just to drink wine or grape juice, there are small individual cups in the middle. Then you can take a cup. The first pitcher will be wine, and the second pitcher will be grape juice. And then finally, there's an empty basket there to place your cup. So again, you're not going to be ushered forward. You're invited to come as you feel comfortable or just to sit quietly in prayer. And if you'd like to come up but you don't want to take communion and just would like to receive a blessing, you can just kind of come up with your arms crossed over your chest, or just ask for a blessing, and the person offering bread will do that for you. All right. We all good? All right. Happy Pentecost, everyone. Come to the table. All is prepared.
Take away the sin of the world. Thank you. may the fullness of Jesus Christ bless you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Amen. To close this evening's worship, I invite you to turn to page 16 as we sing the Nunc Dimittis. It starts with, "Now, Lord, let your servant go in peace." That's how you know when you're in my place. Let us stand.
Now, Lord, you let your servant go in peace.
Let us pray. Creator of the stars of night, we give you thanks for this gift of life. Increase our faith and open our eyes that we might recognize Jesus in all whom you call us to love and serve. Abide with us as darkness deepens and be our hope and highest joy until at last with all your saints we dwell in your unfailing light. Amen. A note about tonight's service. This is really the first full-on communion service we've done in the round, and I know I'm not supposed to ask you to tell me how you felt about it, because honestly, I'm actually hoping it made you a little uncomfortable, and that you were having a hard time figuring out where the leadership was coming from, and that's intentional, that we start to not see the leadership over there, but coming from within and around us and through us. But I would like some helpful feedback. If there are specific things that I could have done differently or others could have done differently to make this easier for you to connect with the service, I would be interested in knowing that. Receive the blessing, Holy God, Blessed Trinity. Strengthen your faith, increase your hope, deepen your love, and give you peace this night and always. Amen. Go in peace, rest in God, rise to serve. Thanks be to God. Amen.